This is Leo for KTWH 99.5 FM, ktwh.org online. We took a pause from our once every 2 weeks adventures exploring what's happening in nature with the Gooseberry Falls State Park naturalist, Michaela Rice. We took time off to explore our cabin fever reliever program last week, and now Michaela's back after 3 weeks away. Welcome back, Michaela, on this incredible day, 69 degrees a couple of blocks north of us in Two Harbors.
I almost wandered away because I was enjoying the sun. Outside, it's so lovely. Early spring for sure. I don't know what Mr. Groundhog actually was saying or Mr. Woodchuck a few months ago, but it's early spring. It feels like it to me.
So many questions that I've been mulling over. Questions that you've posed, I think, as well, because in our community events, you have one of your upcoming visits with the young people at the public library, kind of subtitled at least, Do Animals Use Calendars? How do they find their way through the year to do things at the right time? In early spring, could this be a phenological challenge to some creatures, or is it all benefit, or is there some risk?
Sure. One question I wanted to pose back to you, Leo. Use your brain a little bit.
Okay. Good luck, Leo.
What is something that varies little every single year that would be a reliable signal for animals to use?
Well, it's pretty clear to me that accepting the issues of leap years, you've got about the exact same amount of day length on a given March 13th, one year to the next.
Yeah, exactly. So the amount of daylight every day is very similar year after year. So that's what animals are usually, like, they're using for cues. So we call that the photo period. And different animals are perceiving this day length, and their bodies are having hormonal changes based on the longer days in the spring. So whether that changes everyone's behavior, I think some animals will respond differently. So the birds, when we think of birds, right, would it be beneficial for them to come back early if the weather is warmer? Well, it depends what they are eating, right?
It's exactly where I was going to try to rebut you a little
sure.
bit about, you know, I could have a great day length, but nothing to eat.
Yeah.
And maybe even nothing to drink.
Absolutely. So it doesn't always correlate, yeah, to the resources. So one thing I was thinking about is the birds that have come back, right? The swans, the gulls, maybe some loons will come back early because they could be taking the cues of the warmer weather to mean that the lake ice is out, and that's the resource that they're after. But for animals that eat insects or seeds, berries, those resources are pretty well timed on photo period as well. Least reliably, right? In a given year, no matter what the weather is, by a certain date, you know, the buds are usually coming out on the trees. That might be more of a strict kind of migration cue for birds that, you know, have those resources that need some time to grow.
Yeah.
For the insects
to come
out.
Of course, knowing that the weather is not uniformly mm-hmm. distributed in an even gradient. For instance, I heard from person who had journeyed east of here along the Great Lakes that there was some snow there, and there was not as dramatic a divergence between normal winter temperatures for them as there had been for us.
Mm-hmm.
So to them, it wasn't as balmy as our winter was,
okay.
relatively speaking. When an animal that does a long migration is coming back, they probably don't want to arrive so early as they have
mm-hmm.
no food source. So is it possible that sometimes as they're coming back, when they get close enough to us, they realize things aren't as far along as they need to be, so I'm going to stick around in a place I usually just fly over?
Yeah, that would be called a stopover point.
Okay.
And every bird would need different requirements for that. Hummingbirds can have stopover points in the city if they find a garden with enough sugar
oh.
for them.
Okay.
Some birds, like loons, need stopover points that are big bodies of water. You obviously don't have that in the middle of the continent, so that's a risk that they kind of take into consideration with their migration, right?
Right.
Warblers maybe would do fine in a city with a lot of cover or something, right? So every animal yeah, needs to make those choices based on where they can find food and shelter in the meantime, if they are sensing, or maybe a storm will come, right? That will kind of what we call hold migrations or pause them.
Yes.
In the middle of the, in their migration period. So yeah, animals have to be ready to cope with that short-term adjustment too. Oh, maybe we got a layover.
That becomes a sleepover.
Yep.
That becomes a weekover.
Yep. And animals do that. Yeah. And in a way that they have to prepare for their spring migration home, hopefully some of those animals will have a bit of reserves as well to help them in case that they have to stop over for a period of time.
Yeah. As I was driving here trying to think about the parallels in the year, I wondered whether there's anything remotely like our fall migration watch happening where we live in the spring. I've never heard much talk about what happens at Hawk Ridge in the spring. Is there the same pattern of those big raptors and the waves of passerines coming back? Or is it more diffuse, you know, spread out?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. Maybe we have to ask Margie about that. But I believe it's more diffused because the age classes, the cohorts will come back at a little bit of a staggered time.
More spread out.
Yeah, so that those pulses aren't as reliable. Maybe they're taking a different route depending on these resources as well.
Okay.
They're not funneled in necessarily the same way that they would be coming from the northern tundra area. But that's something I could look into. But it's definitely, yeah, more spread out return home, I believe.
Right. We don't have days where there are 20,000 of any one species coming around the corner of Lake Superior and turning north.
Yeah, and their returns seem to be spread out months, right? We already have like some of the swans and the pelicans. I think, oh, has anyone said anything about pelicans? I know swans for sure. I saw some geese in the suburbs last weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and we will still be getting migrants for the next probably 2 months.
And there are these large wetland areas that often have, I believe, kind of a layover.
Yep.
I'm not sure what the right word is. I know, I think one is Crux Meadows in northern Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the Saxim Bog probably serves kind of the same purpose here.
Yeah, there might be some sloughs in Iowa as well.
Oh, sure.
That some of the ducks stop over on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and of course, there's the legendary Sandhill Crane project down in Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
From what I hear, that I can't remember what I heard, but I know people were already seeing them. And I don't know where that is, whether sandhills, when they come back into our area, which they do. We have sandhills even on the North Shore.
I know that they're usually migrating during turkey season, which opens in a few weeks.
Oh. Okay.
I also have heard that turkeys are strutting down in the suburbs where it's been warmer the past few weeks.
We've had our solo turkey now at our bird feeder almost every day for the past week.
So I was thinking about that. I'm not convinced that other guy
is gone.
Met his match. I think the bigger turkey kicked him out because that's what they also do during this time, is that turkey's not going to want that younger Jaycane around.
Well, this is a very substantial looking turkey now, so he's...
Yeah, he's ready to shine on his own, no competition.
It's been... This turkey is no longer being referred to as the surviving turkey. We've been calling this turkey Uno.
Okay,
just
well,
for the record.
Uno's clearly a big Tom and kicked a little Jakey out because Uno's going to have some babies this year. So
maybe that mystery solved. We'll keep you posted.
But, yeah.
So we're talking about calendars of phenological, what would you call them, indicators of what's going to happen next. And you told me before we went live on recording that you said the bears were back, or some bears.
Yeah, so this is kind of funny because obviously bears are not going to be as attuned to the photo period since they are in a den and hopefully sleeping a lot of the time.
Yeah.
So maybe in that case, weather would be the cue or the signal that they would use to wake up. I have heard from the bear biologists in Grand Rapids that over the last 3 weeks they have had bear calls. Usually the sheriffs find out first because people's bear feeders go missing. The whole town panics. It is definitely warm enough where I encourage everyone to be removing bird feeders, a.k.a.
feeders. You did say the words bear feeders,
yeah,
once there, Michaela.
Oh, no.
I almost called you on that because is that really a good idea to be testing when the bears are out by having a trough of food just for them.
Well, they are essentially bear feeders as well as bird feeders. Well, I think we should just start calling them that.
And it's kind of just throwing your money away when you hang out any bird feeder that are substantial enough for a bird to land on. A bear has got it destroyed in about 11 seconds.
Yeah, and coming back for more tomorrow. And,
yes, to see if you'll buy a new feeder.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm pretty ready for spring too, Leo. I don't know about you. I'm getting ready for programming. I've been stacking the calendar in April full of a lot of wellness programs and personally trying to start planning for the summer. Sure. I don't have all my programs online yet, but...
I'm intrigued, though, because you are doing so much outreach as well outside the state park and within, Michaela. So I know this week coming up, you've got a session with the kiddos on Friday, I think at 11 a.m.
Yeah.
But you have much more. Why don't you fill us in on what you're looking at?
I'd like to announce my craft program at the Two Harbors Library on the 19th next week. I think it's their spring break. So 2 p.m., any age, come make kind of a quirky little butterfly house. Butterflies, they're adults. They don't need anywhere to rest. Some butterflies don't live very long, or moths, but this is more of just like a fun kind of appreciation craft. Come see me and Emily, Miss Emily, at the library.
All right.
Then at the park, if you are on spring break this Friday, I have a Chasing Waterfalls walking tour at 1:30. And then you can find me at the park next Wednesday at 1:30 for a tree-hugging mindfulness program. It's only 30 minutes of your day, and everyone leaves smiling or feeling better.
So that's Wednesday the 20th, the first of the year, tree-hugging?
Yeah, it is. Well,
experiences.
Yeah, I think it is.
Well, maybe everybody could have done their own, but this is a chance to do it as kind of a collective act.
Yeah. So those are some kind of noteworthy things. And then, in April, I'm starting to plan more hikes, more tours, more of the wellness activities. And then the next month after that is when we'll have tons of nature carts and games and campground activities and things happening on the beach and at the picnic flow. So we'll get into that in a few weeks. But yeah, come check it out, Gooseberry Falls State Park. And I'm just excited for the new programs we get to do this year as I'm, keep learning and having more ideas and learning more curriculum. So,
well, certainly your indoor activities are not going to be susceptible to the fact that, despite the fact that spring is on the way and it is record breaking on this Tuesday, March 12th, in terms of the high temp, we retract sometimes and go back into a shell and have a whole week of temperatures in the 30s with winds off the lake, Michaela. So everybody has to gather your strength, your resilience for one more round.
Yep, a push. But, it's not dark when I drive home, so that's another boost. So we're getting closer.
No doubt about getting closer. And so what of all the things that you might look forward to is going to be unique this year, or do you not know yet what you're going to have on tap this summer?
Oh, well, I have...
Really looking ahead now.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm doing a special event, like this big Lake Superior Day that I'm planning. I haven't really told you about that, but we are going to be celebrating National Lake Superior Day. We're going to be hosting the Seas of Change, the PBS documentary. I'll be telling you all about that.
Oh, great. A little
next
peek
time.
Behind the curtains.
There's stuff coming up.
Okay.
You guys are going to be really excited, so stay tuned. Okay. Wandering Nature News.
Okay. Well, we will have to wait kind of eagerly, but patiently, waiting for you, the right time for you to tell us about these things, Michaela. In the meantime, I also, if I remember right, you've got that pollinator garden to think about and thoughts about how soon the first green sprout will emerge.
Yeah, that's funny. I actually looked yesterday. There are some sedges that are turning green and what we call common mullein.
Mm-hmm.
That's
a durable plant.
Yeah, so those are starting to get a little green, I've noticed, but nothing else. My pollinator garden is dry as a bone, pretty much. I have a little bit of mud in the middle, but I ordered my plugs. We're going to do what we can this year. I'm going to cluster some of my baby plants so they're easier for me to water and weed because the trefoil and the vetch likes to choke it out.
Yeah.
But
they're tough to contend with.
Yeah, so we're going to keep going.
But we do need the rain, whether or not, mm-hmm. you know, those troublesome plants take advantage of the rain. We've got to have some soil moisture. And those of us who live in the middle of dead balsam forests are eagerly awaiting some soil moisture. So you yeah. have any words of wisdom?
Oh, gosh.
When is the rain coming? In March? Is it going to be April?
I don't know. Mother Earth hasn't told me.
If we don't have it by May, you know what that means. We're all holding our breath for the wildfire.
I know. I mean, I'm already holding. There's already haze going around from some other wildfires. The wildfires in Canada are starting up again. It's going to be rough. I wouldn't be surprised if they're going to be staging firefighters on call, really starting in the next few weeks, you know, that are available in the spring, because especially if we get some winds, this stuff's going to take off.
Okay, on that chipper note, Michaela, yeah. we have a lot to look forward to and a lot to pay attention
yeah.
to.
Yeah, as you clean up your yards, though, this spring, make sure you're always looking behind you if you're using a weed whip or a lawnmower or something with sparks, because most of these wildfires that we know are human caused. So just make sure that you're really situationally aware whenever you're doing something that could cause sparks outside.
Great point. Appreciate that. We'll kind of end with that sage advice and look forward to, we'll get back on track and in a couple of weeks, hopefully, we can do another edition of Wandering Nature News with Michaela. Thanks, Michaela.
Yes, it's nice to see you on the radio today.
You saw me first, apparently. I hope I see you next time on the radio as well on KTWH. Thanks, Michaela.
Thanks Take for care. Having me.
Bye now. That was Michaela Rice. She's the naturalist up at Gooseberry Falls State Park, and you're listening to KTWH 99.5 FM.